tape identification. This is an oral history interview with Mr. Mervyn Kemp, recorded at his place at Churton Lee Rest Home on September the 23rd. It's recorded on a Sony ECM tape recorder using a Sony standard clip-on mic. The interviewer is David Young. There's a little bit of wind in the round sliders, otherwise no noise. We're now on side three, and we were just talking about the campaign in Italy. Can you tell us where you were?
Oh, we
you were too late for Monte Cassino.
Just too late.
Yes. Just missed that.
Well, I wouldn't have been involved very much anyway, because the unit I was with at that time was the 5th Field, and they weren't, they were kept in reserve.
I see.
And they wouldn't.
Wouldn't have
but
been.
I just missed it anyway. Well, I didn't see.
Don't worry. Just
fully,
just the highlights of it.
Fully, one place.
Fully.
Fully, yes. It's our largest sort of suburb, you know, and Fully was the main one, and a lot of skirmishing and smaller places about and around there. If I had a map, I'd soon tell you.
Did you go up into Trieste?
Yes, I did in Trieste all the time over there. And but before I got to Trieste, I was called back to see Vicaria Weir, and finally I was recommissioned without any extra.
Oh.
But I had to go back to start my commission rank all over again. In other words, I had to be second lieutenant.
Yes.
And as a consequence, I only got the lieutenant's rank in the finish.
Yes.
I regard it as basically unfair to the individual. There were about 30 others affected the same way as I was, and but I always understood it was a law of the commission rank that you only lose your commission when you are commissioned by Field Marshal, and in no way, any occasion had I been
appointed by a Field Marshal.
And that's been confirmed, but no doubt Britain, New Zealand found some way of, they had wartime regulations, they could make them do anything they liked, and it only became a question of money, after all.
Yes.
But
you saw some fairly active fighting at the end of the
day. Oh,
yes.
Yes.
You'd be at the sharp end there a bit, being in the sort of unit that you were in, presumably. Mm. By then you were no longer in reserve, you were being used.
No. I know, so obviously they used the period and I was on trial without knowing it, because when I joined the unit in the 4th Field, I trained, I was appointed to the 4th Field anyway, and I was transferred from job to job several times, each one trying me out, you what I'd learned.
Yes.
But I didn't know that.
No.
And most steps to get their commissions back by that way of training them, but some didn't. They got, obviously had been found wanting in some way, or of course thought they had been anyway. The reason, of course, the three of the deaths arrived in the country, and they had a surplus of officers, and they had to find a job for them. Anyway.
Right, okay. Is there anything else you want to say about your war service?
No, not really, I don't think.
You were probably glad to see the end of the war.
Oh yes, I was getting older. But in the meantime, I should say I had a break a little bit.
Yes.
In my home service, and because I had an accident and consequently I was graded standard 2, and at that time I thinking my war service was going to be over, I got married.
What year was this?
19... I don't know.
This is before you went overseas, or...?
Yes.
Yes, okay. So, could have been about 43.
It was something like that.
44, perhaps.
Yes, something like that.
Yes.
And anyway, fortunately, I got better. And they posted me to a training cadre.
Now what's that?
Oh, a cadre is a force they have in existence for the purpose of training up some other recruits.
Right.
And the Second World War hadn't started, but it was getting very imminent, I thought, and they had lots of untrained servicemen around the place, and they had to get a training corps for training purposes of that.
Right.
And that's what they're training.
So is this, are you saying, is this when you got married?
Yes.
So this was really the beginning of the war you got married? Or was it later?
It was a bit later.
Yeah. Now tell us about your wife. Now she's deceased now.
No.
She's still alive.
Mm.
I'm sorry. So tell us about your wife. What's her name? Or what was her
name? Nancy. Well, she was just an ordinary person doing an ordinary job.
What was her surname?
Bishop.
Bishop. And she was a New Zealander?
No, she was not. She was in English by birth.
Right.
And we've been married now for donkey's years, you know.
Yes.
And
Over 60 years, would it be, or getting on for 60 years?
No.
50-something years.
Oh, 50-something years.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
Okay, and what was the job she was doing?
The keeper of the official title was the keeper of the stud book, which is to racehorse owners.
Yes.
That's a very important
Absolutely.
Job.
Mm. This was in Wellington.
Mm.
She worked for the racing conference.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And how did you meet her?
Oh, at a tennis club, I think.
Oh. So she wasn't a Presbyterian either?
No. No, she's not very religious as such.
Right.
And, but, yes, we've been married ever since anyway. And it's just scarcely way.
So, did you have any children before you did your overseas service?
No.
Right.
I had a... When the arrangement fell through, when I say that, when we were married, I had no knowledge that I was going to be graded less than I was.
Yes.
And so we found a flat and we set up.
Where was that?
In Jasmine Street.
Yes.
And only married about a month, I think, when I got notice telling me I could come in a cater, it's a cater business.
Yes.
If I wanted to. And it left that way. And so I said yes. And I went back to the army again. And then a bit later I found in my mail a letter telling me to apply for reboard, reboard, medical term we used to.
Okay.
And so I did that and I found I was now grade one, which may be fit for any sort of services at all. So it's all a very complicated sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the ultimate result was when the war finished, we had no family, we had no place to put them, and we married.
Yes.
And we first found a home in Tower, and that started me off living in Tower.
So was this in 1945 or 46?
45 would be to start with.
Late 45.
Hmm.
What sort of a home was it that you found?
Oh, a good place.
Fairly new?
It was, yes, only finished in wartime. One of the few places that was allowed to be built. And it was quite a good place anyway. I know it's very hard to pay for.
Did you buy it?
Mm.
You would have had no money.
No, I had borrowed money from Housing Corporation. They had very favourable terms for secondary soldiers generally.
Yes. What, you were paying, what, about 2 or 3%, were you?
2%, yes.
Yes.
And it ended up being too large for us. We had, with additions we'd made ourselves, we had about 5 places sleeping, and we had only 2 people sleeping there.
So this is at the end of your family life, is it?
Hmm.
So before we get to that, how many children did you have?
2.
Right. And what you were telling me yesterday that you, is it your son who's at Edinburgh University doing a PhD?
Yes.
And what's he studying?
Muslim religion, generally.
Yeah, okay. And your daughter, is it?
Yes. She's secretary of one of the colleges here. Very keen on skiing. Sticks away. Every time she's got anything due to her, she takes her out and skiing. And they're a very fine family.
So, when were those children born? Can you remember? And their names?
Geoffrey, the elder one, son, he is 41, 42 now.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes him...
So he's born sort of in the early 50s.
Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
And she is about...
What's her name? We'll put it down later.
Yes. It's amazing.
Just lost it for a moment.
Just lost it for a moment. But she's about... I said 41, didn't I, for Geoffrey?
Yes.
She'd be about... Now I'll tell you that again too.
Okay. You tell me that later.
I think. I might be guessing, you know.
Okay. All right. So you occupied the same house. All your life, or did you go to another house before you moved to this rest home?
No, when I came back from the war, looking for a place, and somebody found someone who knew someone, and of course places were about as scarce as hen's teeth.
Yes, they would have been.
And we found that by an honest trick, you might say.
Mm-hmm.
I had made up mind that the various reasons I wouldn't buy that house, wait for something better to turn up, as I termed it. So my wife and I agreed that we'd only buy it if we had a purchaser willing not to deal in under the table, because everyone
was doing that.
Else was doing it.
If and, you had a seller who was willing to do that.
Yeah. And when I told her that, she says, well, I'm very pleased you said it. Because my husband was just about to divorce me. He was a ship-going captain, and so I never met him at all. But his wife's version of him was she knew she'd been in trouble if she took that money. And you can imagine I had a van of cork dealing with Roy Mixer afterwards. He wasn't the agent commissioned to sell. I found out later. He was only commissioned to find out the value pending sale.
Uh-huh.
And but he, I suppose, extended his authority to find a buyer, and found a buyer, willing buyer and everything else like that, but she wasn't willing to pay anything extra under the table. And when I said to the land agent, he just about saw his face drop, because so went all his big extra commission. We couldn't do anything about it. I just asked him to give a simple form of agreement with Mrs. Rowling, the purchaser, and I was signed. We just got that. And so that went through. And
did you pay anything under the table?
No.
You didn't?
No.
And then next he took you to court, did he?
No.
No, he kicked up a fuss about it though.
Oh. It wasn't anything you could do because the proposal was quite illegal. And so nothing came of it at all, really. I think Rory Mixon's dead now, so probably.
It's okay to talk about it. So what was your job when you got back from the war?
They had to give you back your own old job.
So you went back to Kenneth?
Mm. And they would have had me permanently there, but the one thing that didn't offer me anything greater than £6 a week, £12 a week it was.
£12 a week, what you'd had before.
Before.
Mm.
And that didn't worry me unduly, but it was a family film, and as I can see, all the jobs going to family.
Yes.
And I'd be very patient, sort of.
They could overlook you easily.
Quite easily. And I came back for a while. And then I left them, and I went for a big crowd of self-help organizations.
Oh, yes.
They,
the grocery chain?
Hmm. They, unknown to me, they were looking for someone to go in, because the chap who occupied their main job had given notice he was leaving, and I knocked out for 3 months or something, but they self-helped, thought they should start replacing him now.
Yes.
And all unknown to me, I was given an interview by an accountant friend of mine who I'd known before I'd gone overseas, and he fully expected I'd get it, so I did. But it was done so much in an underhand way that nobody of the understaff there had anything to do with me, because I didn't know what my position was. For reasons best known to themselves, they self-help hadn't told them at all that I was second in command. So I quietly with drill shot.
Before you even started?
Mm.
Well, you could sense the hostility before you got
there. He couldn't weld it into a team of working people anyway. We have no way in the world of doing it. And yes, it was amazing. I went into the interview room and Ben Sutherland, he was alive then, he said, well, if you wouldn't mind waiting a few minutes, Mr. Kemp, we'll be able to make up our mind, I think, quite quickly. There were no suggestion that I was up for an interview at all. I didn't particularly want a job anyway, so at the time I had a good one. But anyway, I didn't expect to be interviewed, and he just laughed. And he said, oh, we'd like to make our decisions on the spur of the moment.
So, what happened then? You were still stayed with Kenneth, did you?
No, I'd gone from there, yes.
So what was the work you were then able to do?
Hmm?
Yeah. So what work did you do then?
I might mention that I'd forgotten to mention this. I had in the meantime qualified.
Had you?
Hmm.
As an accountant?
As an accountant, yes.
Right.
Registered till.
So you did that in your spare time?
Yes, I studied while I was still in the war. Again, I was injured then, and had a lot of spare time. So I started on correspondence lessons, and much to my surprise, they accepted me because I was so outdated. By this time, that various institutions I mentioned earlier to you, they'd all disappeared. Some had gone and some had amalgamated and so on.
Yes.
But they had taken the rules. They wouldn't grant any degrees unless you to do exams. Well, I was faced then with having to do exams that didn't exist now, and that could have made it awkward to say the least.
Yes.
And but the authorities controlling the accounts here, they agreed to make my own special case when I had produced evidence to their satisfaction of what exams I had.
Right.
They'd specify what others I had to take. So they said I had to pay bookkeeping too. Again, and I passed that pretty difficultly. And when I got back from Egypt, from overseas, I mean, I found I had passed my accountant exam.
Your finals.
Hmm.
Oh, okay. How bad was your injury?
Oh, I got stuck with the internal disease, not injury.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Oh, I see. So you got some sort of, you caught some sort of bug?
Yes.
Mm. All right, well, we're just coming up to the end of this this tape, it was just it was a little bit left around, not much. So you applied for this job at Self Help, but you never actually took that job.
I did it for a while.
Oh, you did take it up briefly.
Yes.
That was how you discovered that the staff were impossible to work with.
Mm.
So what happened then?
Well, about then I was playing around with the father-in-law had a small